Isn't it a beautiful day today? Man, outside, it is awesome. Yesterday was good. Today's going to be good. God has blessed us. It's amazing. As we begin, let me start with this scenario. See if you can follow along with this. A gentleman went to work. And every day, he would ride the elevator from the apartment that he lived in down to the ground floor, and he would go to work. And every day when he would come home, he would ride the elevator up to the sixth floor of his apartment building, and then he would get out, and then he would take the stairs the rest of the way up, many stories, to the apartment that he lived in. He would do that every single day that he went to work, except on rainy days. On rainy days when he came home, he would ride the elevator all the way to the floor that he lived on. Why? Barb's going, I know. Okay, hang on to it, Barb. We'll get to you in a minute. Here's another one for you to think about. Anne is lying on the floor dead. And they're, Lyric, you're smiling at me. You know the answer too, don't you? Okay. Anne is lying on the floor dead, and there's broken glass and water all around her. Stuart is asleep on the couch, seemingly oblivious to the death that has occurred to Anne. How did Anne die? Okay, Barb, I'll give you a couple seconds. I know she probably got the one. Okay. You want to take a shot at the first one, Barb? Now, did you figure that out on your own, or have you heard this before? Okay. You want to take a shot at the second one? Timmy. Man, you guys. Well, I'll just kind of skip a whole paragraph thing here and stuff. That is the truth of it. Okay? The man was a short man. He had the umbrella, and so that was as high as he could get until he got there. And Anne is a... was a goldfish or a fish, and the glass in the water is the fishbowl that Stuart successfully knocked over, and so Anne died. Did you ever play those kind of mind games where you have to answer the questions, but you can only ask questions that are yes or no to try to figure out the scenario? I got a yes and I got a no. That's good. That's a good place to start. Let's try one more here. On Friday night, a man dies. He is buried on that same night. On Sunday morning, some friends of his arrive at the tomb where he has been buried to pay their last respects, only to discover that his body is gone. What happened? Well, you see, that's the situation that we want to look at this morning. That's what we're going to look at as we go through the book of John, John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, and if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, you can open them up and kind of save the spot, because we'll kind of go there and then we'll come back and we'll kind of revisit it as we move along. Either that or Colin will have it displayed for you right up there and you can follow there. We're going to read verses 1 and 2 of John chapter 20 right now. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Here's the scenario. Here's the scene. Early in the morning, several women approached the tomb where Jesus' body had been laid. You see, there had not been sufficient time after his crucifixion to properly prepare him for his burial. Now, as they got closer to it, suddenly a thought occurred to them. Who is going to roll that great big stone away from the door of the tomb? But in spite of that obstacle, they kept on going. When they got to the tomb, they found a scene that they did not expect to see. They found the soldiers that were guarding the tomb laying on the ground looking as if they were dead. But more amazing, they found that the stone had already been rolled away from the entrance. So they walked right past the guards. They entered the tomb where Jesus' body had been placed. When they got in there, they found that the body was gone. So suddenly, two angels appeared, and they proclaimed to them that Jesus had arisen. The angels told him to go and tell his disciples what they had seen and what they had heard. And so that is exactly what they did. When they got there, they had to catch their breath for a minute. And then they began to excitedly tell them all that they had seen and heard. But the men, they didn't believe them. It sounded like a bunch of gibberish to them. Guards that seemed to be dead. The stone rolled away. Men in bright clothing. Jesus? Alive? None of it made any sense. But the message was intriguing enough to provoke two of the disciples, Peter and John, to go to the tomb to see for themselves. So John and Peter and Mary Magdalene, they headed off for the tomb. See, no one doubted the part of the woman's story that said that the tomb was empty. But they needed to decide for themselves why it was empty and what it all meant. That is the same thing that you and I must decide. We all agree that there's an empty tomb. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't believe that. But the question is, how are you going to respond to that empty tomb? How is it going to affect your life? You see, three different people came to the tomb that day, and each one of them responded in a different way. Now, the first to arrive at the tomb was John. Picking up at verse 3, it says, "So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen that were laying there, but he did not go in. When John heard the news, he jumped up and he ran with all of his might to get to the tomb. He wanted to believe. You see, he loved Jesus. Of all the disciples, he had been the most faithful. He had been in the courtyard when Jesus was interrogated and sentenced to die. He had been at the foot of the cross when Jesus hung there, dying. He had actually willingly taken in Jesus' mother to help take care of her. He was so excited about this possibility that Jesus might actually be alive that he ran faster than he had ever run before. But when he got to the tomb, he did not go in. He looked inside, and he saw some of what Mary had said was there. But he stayed outside. Maybe he stayed outside so that he could catch his breath after that long run. Maybe he stayed outside because he was afraid. What if Mary was mistaken and Jesus' body was just placed somewhere else in the tomb? You see, he didn't want to see Jesus all mangled from the torture and the cross and the beatings. What if once he and Peter got inside the tomb, guards who had been hiding suddenly appeared? You see, this could all be an elaborate hoax that was put on by the Roman officials. They'd taken Jesus' body away to lure the disciples there. And once the disciples arrived, they'd arrest these disciples. They would arrest them and tell them that they caught them trying to steal Jesus' body to make it look like he'd come back to life. Now, after a few minutes, Peter arrived. Picking up at verse 6, it says, "Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen that were laying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separated from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. Brazen, impetuous, bold Peter. He just walks straight in without any hesitancy. He saw everything just as Mary had said it was. The linen that had covered Jesus' body was neatly laid in place, almost like Jesus' body had just dematerialized from inside the clothing. When Peter arrived at the tomb, John must have figured, well, it's okay to enter. So then he went in as well. They both saw the evidence, but they had different responses. Verse 8, the second half of it reads like this, on to verse 9. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. You see, John saw and believed. The empty grave was enough evidence for him that what the other women had said was true. Jesus really had risen from the dead. John didn't need to see Jesus to know that Jesus was alive. He had heard the prophecies that Jesus had foretold about his coming death and resurrection. And now here was the empty tomb, and that was enough. You see, there are many people here today who are just like John. We believe because there is an empty tomb. And because there is a testimony of Christians throughout the centuries of the fact that Jesus is alive. We don't need to see to believe. We join with John. When Jesus spoke a few verses later in the same chapter, at verse 29, when he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." John reacted to that empty tomb with belief. Okay, kids, you ready? What do we know about John from what I told you? It's written there in the first section. Any answers? What do you know? Go ahead, Lacey. John got there first. Yeah. He ran faster when he got there first. What else you got? Anybody? Tori? Andrew? Anybody? Anybody else got one? You're colored? I don't care. Delaney, you got something? Nothing? Okay. Cool. Anybody? John got there first. John loved Jesus. Anyone else? What did you catch from that? How come? He saw, he was there when Jesus died on the cross. So he believed because he saw it happen. But he even believed that Jesus was alive afterwards because Jesus was no longer there. Yeah, Lacey. John cared for Jesus' mother. He actually loved Jesus so much, he took his mom and helped care for him. Yeah. And he did not go in first. He kind of waited a little bit. And then there was Peter. Peter was a little slower than John to arrive at the tomb. Maybe it's because John was younger and could run faster. Maybe it was because all those years as a fisherman had taken its toll on Peter, and he had arthritis in his knees and in his back. I'm starting to know what that's like. Or maybe it was because he was afraid of what he might find. You see, he wasn't afraid of the soldiers. He had whacked off the ear of one of them when they came to take Jesus away. Peter wanted to see Jesus. But there was a part of him that dreaded the idea. You see, the last time that Peter had seen Jesus and looked him in the eyes was when he had denied him three times. If Peter saw Jesus, he knew that he was going to be confronted with his own sin and guilt. He wasn't sure if he could handle that. Peter's vision was clouded by the pain that he felt over his past. He wanted Jesus to be alive, but he didn't know how he was going to be able to face him. Maybe there are people here today like that. You want to believe, but there's just too much history. You've got too much pain. You've got all that baggage. Your burden is too heavy. It's just too difficult to believe that Jesus' resurrection could wipe away all that pain, could take the baggage, could lift that heavy burden. Let me tell you something. Jesus can forgive, and Jesus can heal. Peter went in and he examined the evidence for himself. He saw the linen that had been wrapped around Jesus' body and the piece of cloth that was around Jesus' head. It was enough to prove that something had happened. But it wasn't enough to prove that Jesus was alive. Another account in the book of Luke says that Peter went away wondering to himself what had happened. He was a skeptic. He needed more evidence. And then Peter did one of the most foolish things of his whole life. Look at verse 10. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Did you catch it? He left. Something as important as that. And he left without even coming to a conclusion as to what had happened. If Peter had hung around just a little bit longer, he would have gotten to experience the exact same miracle that Mary is getting ready to see. There wasn't enough evidence because he didn't hang around long enough. Too many people don't have enough evidence to place their faith in Jesus because they simply don't hang around long enough. They don't read God's word enough. They don't hang around God's people enough. They don't spend enough time in prayer. They get up off their knees or they walk out the door of the church just before the miracle happens. And they miss it. They aren't present to see the miracles of God's changing power. Don't leave until you see a miracle. Peter, he walked away from that empty tomb with his heart still broken. What do we know about Peter? Yeah, Lacey. Okay, what do you got, Lacey? Peter was slower? Yeah, he ran a lot slower. Anyone else? Andrew, I know you got a question, but it probably has nothing to do with what's written there. I know that. But you got something there? What do you got? Jesus wasn't at the tomb because he'd come back to life. We don't know exactly where he was when they got there, but he wasn't there. He shows up a little bit later on, though. Oh, man, I gave away the secret. Because he was somewhere else. He had come back to life and he had left the tomb. I don't know why. I just don't know why he wasn't there at the time. But he shows up in a few minutes. Yes, Delaney. Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. Yeah. Yeah, Lacey, one more. Let's go ahead. Peter left too early. Yeah. Peter saw the evidence and before making any decision, he left. He left just before the miracle happened. Then there was Mary Magdalene. When Peter and John left, she stayed behind. Picking up at verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw 2 angels in white seated there where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." See, the angel asked a good question. Why are you crying? Back in verse 1 of this, where we started, it says that the women, including Mary Magdalene, came to the tomb while it was still dark. This not only speaks to the fact that the sun hadn't risen yet, it was not daybreak when they first got there. It also talks about the conditions of their hearts. It was the deepest, darkest times of their lives. Mary was depressed. Psychologists will tell us that depression comes when you have lost something of value to you. The more valuable the person or the thing that you lose, the deeper the depression. And Mary had lost that which was more valuable to her than anything else. She had lost Jesus. That meant a lot to her. You see, to Mary Magdalene, Jesus meant release. When Jesus had first met her, she was actually enslaved by 7 demons. Jesus had cast the demons out. Jesus had set her free. To Mary Magdalene, Jesus meant peace. Those of you who are parents or who watch a lot of kids, I'm thinking of you right now, Melanie. Catch this one, follow along if you can. You know what it's like when you have all these little kids hanging on to you, clinging on to you, wanting to get your attention to do something for them. Imagine having 7 demons inside your head constantly trying to steer you in directions that you do not want to go. You see, when Jesus had released her, she found a peace that she had never, ever known. To Mary Magdalene, Jesus meant forgiveness. Not only had he released her from the demons, he had released her from her sin. He had forgiven all of those actions that had allowed the demons to inhabit her in the first place. To Mary Magdalene, Jesus meant someone to believe in. When Jesus was alive, Mary had been a part of a group of these women who financially supported his ministry. She had believed in what he was doing. You see, everyone needs someone to believe in. To Mary Magdalene, Jesus meant leadership. She was lost without Jesus. She had given her life to Jesus. You see, his life gave her life meaning. Now that he was gone, she was like a lost puppy who didn't know what to do or what to believe in. She thought all of that was gone, so she cried. She wept. But then a miracle happens. At verse 14. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? What is it you are looking for?" So there Mary is. She's crying. She's weeping. Weeping so hard that her eyes are filled with tears. The sound of her voice, you know what it's like when you're really crying and you're taking the deep breaths. When Jesus speaks to her, she did not recognize him because she was lost in her depression, lost in herself and her crying. Her eyes were clouded over. Thinking it was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go get him." You see, Mary wanted to see Jesus so much, she was willing to do whatever it takes. If you have taken him somewhere, let me know. I will go get him and bring him back. Then Jesus said to her, "Mary." One word. He spoke her name. Mary had spent so much time around Jesus, she knew the sound of her name coming from his mouth. She recognized it. When she recognized it, she turned toward him and she cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She turns and she sees him, "Teacher." She's astonished. Then Jesus responds. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Can you imagine Mary, second time this morning, running back to the disciples to tell them, the first time I saw these angels and they said he's not here anymore, this time I've seen the Lord. By now they must be thinking she's not all there. But seeing the Lord, you know, that's what Mary wanted more than anything else. And she wanted it more than anyone else did. She wanted to see him so badly that she did not allow the lewd comments or the threats that the soldiers made at the foot of the cross to push her away. She wanted to see him so badly that even though his face was covered with blood and his body was mangled from the torture, she did not turn away in disgust. She wanted to see him so badly that when his body was actually taken down from the cross and placed in the tomb by Joseph of Arimathea, she stayed. And then when the tomb was sealed, the stone was rolled over, she sat outside the tomb watching. The only thing that could pull Mary away was the Sabbath. But as soon as the Sabbath was over, there she was, back at Jesus' side again. Mary, she wanted to see Jesus. And Mary got her desire. Jesus said, Mary said, I have seen the Lord. Kids, what can you tell us about Mary? What do you know about Mary? Yeah, Lacey, go ahead. You're always good with this. Go ahead. The angel asked, why are you crying? And she said, because I want to see the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, Delaney. Mary got to see Jesus. Yeah. Mary cried and Mary wept. But she got her desire. She got her wish. You see, every one of us here today are just like those three witnesses who went to the tomb that day. All three of them had been told what had happened. Mary had been told by the angels, and John and Peter had been told by the other women. All three of them saw the tomb, and they examined the same evidence, and all three of them had a different reaction. Many of you are like John. You see the empty tomb, and you believe. Jesus says that you are blessed. Rejoice that Jesus is alive. Amen. It means that you will live with him forever in eternity. Now, some of you are like Peter. You see the empty tomb and you don't know what to believe. There's something going on, but you don't really know what. You say to yourself, I don't understand all this religion stuff. I don't understand why people would willingly get up on a Sunday morning and give up their sleep and their free time and come to church. There is only one way you will ever understand that. Stick around. Don't come just on Easter. Come back again and again until you see the miracle of your own life changed. Stay a long time at the foot of the cross. Stay a long time at the empty tomb. And then some of you are like Mary. You see the empty tomb. You see the change in people's lives, and you think there has got to be some practical explanation of what has happened. See, Mary didn't believe either. But she hung around long enough to have her questions answered and her faith grown. Maybe that's you. Either you're not quite sure what happened on that day, or you're not quite sure that what happened on that day and how it affects you on this day. You ask, what does it all mean? Or maybe more specifically, what does it all mean to me? Since Jesus is alive, Jesus can be all of those things that Mary thought she had lost. Release, peace, forgiveness, a sense of purpose, and leadership. Today, Maybe today, for the first time, you're ready to believe Jesus. Maybe you have had your prayers answered, and today, like Mary, you have seen Jesus. If you are today, April 8th, 2012, Easter Sunday, you can give your heart to Jesus for the first time. If that is you, I would love to talk with you. But if you're not ready to believe today and you've never believed before, at least do this much. Stick around. Come back next Sunday and the next Sunday and maybe the next. Come to some other event where people are gathered together, where Christians have gathered together. Come back until you see Jesus. Don't be like Peter, who went away with his heart still empty. Don't say no to Jesus' pleas for you to receive his forgiveness.